Imagine logging into your dashboard tomorrow morning. You see this campaign generating just a massive, beautiful 6x return on ad spend.
Oh, yeah. The absolute dream scenario, right?
Right. So you immediately shift a huge chunk of your budget into it, expecting to scale your revenue to the moon. But instead, your profitability just completely tanks.
That's brutal.
It is. The numbers on your screen were technically accurate, but mathematically, they kind of lied to you.
And that specific illusion, I mean, that is exactly how marketing teams routinely torch, 20 to 30% of their large-scale budgets every single month. They just chase past performance right off a cliff.
Totally. So, welcome to this deep dive. We customized this one specifically for you. If you're listening to this, you are likely a mid-level performance marketer, right? You spent the last, say, 2 to 5 years absolutely crushing it on a single channel.
Yeah, maybe you're a wizard at Google search, or Meta's cold audience is like the back of your hand.
Exactly. But now you've hit this major career pivot. You are stepping into multi-channel budget ownership for the very first time. You are the one actually directing the capital.
Which is an incredibly exciting transition. But stepping into that seat really requires tearing down your old mental models. Your job is no longer to ask, how do I get the best ROAS from this specific channel? Because that's the mindset of a platform technician. As a budget owner, your only job is to ask, where does the next rupee produce the most return?
And industry data shows us that confusing those two questions is the root cause of that wasted ad spend we just mentioned.
Absolutely.
To really understand how to allocate a multi-channel budget correctly, we first have to deconstruct the most common, I mean, almost instinctive mistake performance marketers make when they look at their data.
So let's use a highly realistic scenario to illustrate this term. Let's say you're managing a total monthly budget of 20 lakh rupees.
Okay, 20 lakh.
You pull up last month's performance data and you see two primary lines. The first is your Google branded search campaign. It spent 4 lakhs and generated 24 lakhs in revenue. That's a 6x average ROAS.
Wow, okay. And right below that, you have Meta Prospecting. It spent 6 lakhs and generated 12 lakhs. So a 2x ROAS.
Right.
Now, if I'm staring at that table, my immediate visceral reaction is to defund Meta and shift every available rupee to branded search. I mean, my CMO is probably standing over my shoulder demanding we cut the losers and fund the winners, right? Why is doing that a critical error?
Well, it's an error because the naive optimizer treats those ROAS numbers like guaranteed fixed interest rates in a savings account.
Oh, interesting.
You assume that if you put another rupee into the 6x machine, 6 rupees will magically pop out.
Yeah.
But that ignores the fundamental mechanics of how demand is actually captured.
Right.
The first reality check here is that branded search is bounded. It is entirely limited by the existing awareness of your company.
Because it's intent harvesting, not intent creation. You're just capturing people who are already typing your specific brand name into the search bar.
Exactly. And you cannot force more people to search for your name simply by throwing money at Google. The demand pool has a hard ceiling.
Right.
So once you've captured the people already looking for you, pouring another lakh into that campaign won't miraculously spawn new brand loyalists. The platform will just start bidding higher on the exact same limited clicks.
So it's just driving your costs up and your returns down.
Precisely.
It's so easy to forget that average ROAS is purely historical. Like, we treat it as this forward-looking promise when really it's just a receipt for yesterday's transaction.
That is a great way to put it.
That 6x tells me what the first 4 lakhs achieved. It tells me absolutely nothing about what the 4 lakh and first rupee is going to do.
Yeah, because that historical average blends together the incredibly cheap, high-intent conversions you got on day one with the increasingly expensive conversions you got on day 30. It completely masks the saturation.
It's like pouring water on a sponge,
Rose.
right? Yeah. So the first few drops are absorbed instantly and perfectly. That represents your 6x average ROAS, capturing the easy high-intent demand.
Right.
But once that sponge is completely saturated, pouring a bucket of water over it just creates a puddle on the floor. It's totally wasted capital. As multi-channel owners, our entire job is to stop pouring water on saturated sponges and, go find dry ones.
That is a perfect visualization of the problem. Because average ROAS only tells us about the past and entirely ignores that saturation point, we need a new metric. We need one that looks out the windshield instead of the rearview mirror.
Okay.
You get a metric that predicts the behavior of the next unit of spend. And in economics, this is called marginal ROAS.
So if marginal ROAS is our windshield, how does calculating the margin differ mechanically from just looking at my daily averages?
Well, marginal ROAS calculates the change in revenue divided by the change in spend for a small, isolated increment of additional budget. It isolates the variable.
Okay, I'm tracking.
It literally asks, if I spend just one more rupee right now, what specific revenue does that isolated rupee generate?
And that leads us to the golden rule of multi-channel allocation from the source material. You must continually move budget from the channel with the lower marginal ROAS to the channel with the higher marginal ROAS until they equalize.
Exactly. So let's apply that golden rule back to your 20 lakh rupee scenario.
Yeah, let's do it.
Branded search was sitting there with that massive 6x average ROAS. But we know the intent pool is tapped out. The sponge is full.
Right.
Because it's near saturation, it's marginal ROAS, meaning the expected return on the next 1 lakh rupees might actually only be 1.8x.
Wow. Okay. Meanwhile, that meta prospecting campaign had an ugly 2x average ROAS. But meta prospecting represents this massive, untapped audience of millions of people. It is a very dry sponge.
Exactly. Because it has vast room to scale without hitting an audience ceiling, its marginal ROAS might be 3.5x.
That makes total sense.
Every additional rupee spent on meta prospecting is currently earning significantly more than an additional rupee spent on branded search.
Though, you know, it requires tremendous discipline to look your CMO in the eye and say, hey, we're taking money away from the 6x campaign and giving it to the 2x campaign.
Oh, absolutely. It's a tough conversation.
But mathematically, giving the next lakh to Meta is the only way to maximize the total portfolio revenue.
And to defend that decision confidently to your CMO, you have to understand the underlying mechanism of the diminishing returns curve.
Yeah.
Every single advertising channel, without exception, operates on this curve.
So if I'm plotting this curve on a graph, the platform's machine learning algorithms are basically designed to grab the lowest hanging fruit first, right?
They are.
The very first rupee I spend reaches the user most likely to convert at the absolute cheapest auction price.
Yeah, the algorithms are ruthless efficiency engines at low budgets. They find the users with the highest probability of buying and serve them ads. But as you increase your daily budget, the algorithm runs out of quote unquote perfect prospects.
Right.
It's forced to enter more expensive ad auctions to reach users who are just slightly less likely to buy.
So the cost per acquisition rises and the marginal return inevitably drops. But it can't just be a straight downward slope, right? There has to be an inflection point.
There is.
A sweet spot where the marginal return is highly profitable right before the algorithm starts scraping the bottom of the barrel and the curve flattens out. Industry folks call that the efficient frontier.
Yes, and the efficient frontier is the exact pocket of the curve you want to live in. Below the frontier, the curve is nearly vertical. Your marginal ROAS is sky high, but you're actually underinvesting.
Wait, underinvesting?
Yeah, you're leaving highly profitable conversions on the table because your budget is too constrained.
Oh, I see. You're artificially starving a channel that desperately wants to perform?
Exactly. Then you increase spend and you enter the efficient frontier zone itself. The curve is still meaningfully steep here. For a typical B2C brand, this is where the next rupee is returning, somewhere between 2x and 3x. So the channel is well calibrated at that point.
Right. Your job here isn't to make drastic moves, but to monitor the marginal ROAS closely for any degradation.
Which brings us to the danger zone above the frontier. This is where the curve flattens. You can keep feeding the platform rupees and it'll happily spend them, but the marginal ROAS just plummets.
It falls off a cliff.
When you see a steep drop in incremental return as you raise the budget, that is your definitive saturation signal.
And that is the exact moment you trigger the golden rule. You stop funding that specific curve and you route the capital to a different channel that's currently below its own efficient frontier.
Okay, so mapping out diminishing returns curves on a whiteboard is an elegant economic exercise. But, you know, the listener has to log into real, somewhat clunky platform dashboards tomorrow morning.
Oh, the reality of the platforms.
Right. There is no magical calculate marginal ROAS button in Google Ads. We have to translate this theory into the mechanical levers the ad platforms actually provide. So let's start with Google Ads. The primary lever there is the daily campaign budget.
It is, but Google's daily budget mechanism is notorious for giving new multi-channel managers minor heart attacks.
Oh, absolutely.
Google operates on a flexible daily pacing system. If their algorithm detects a massive surge in high-intent search traffic on, say, a random Tuesday, it will aggressively overspend your daily budget cap by up to 2x to capture that marginal opportunity.
And that terrifies people. I mean, if I'm managing a massive 1 crore monthly budget and I carefully calculate my daily caps to pace evenly, waking up on day 3 to see a 2x spend spike feels like the algorithm just went rogue and blew my pacing for the entire quarter.
I know, that anxiety is super common, but it comes from misunderstanding Google's billing safety net. Yes, the daily spend can surge to 2x, but Google hard codes a monthly limit into their billing engine.
Okay, how does that work?
They take your daily budget and multiply it by 30.4, which is the average number of days in a month. Over the course of a billing cycle, you will never be charged a single rupee over that total monthly envelope.
Okay, so the algorithm is essentially front-loading the spend when it detects a spike in the efficient frontier, and it will forcibly throttle itself later in the month to ensure the math balances out.
Exactly.
It's making a real-time marginal ROAS calculation on your behalf.
Yes, and to truly weaponize that algorithmic intelligence across multiple campaigns, you should utilize shared budgets. Instead of locking one lock into campaign A and one lock into campaign B, you put two locks into a shared pool.
Which solves the trapped liquidity problem, right? Because if campaign A hits its saturation point by noon, the budget doesn't just sit there doing nothing. The system fluidly routes the remaining funds to campaign B, which might still be operating in a highly efficient zone.
Exactly. Now, moving over to Meta, the platform forces you to make a structural choice about who controls that routing. You or the machine.
Ah, yes.
The legacy model is ABO, Ad Set Budget Optimization. You manually dictate the exact daily budget for every individual audience ad set.
So if I have a retargeting ad set and a broad prospecting ad set, I am personally deciding exactly how many rupees go into each bucket every day. I retain total control.
You do. But you also retain total liability. If your broad audience ad set hits severe audience fatigue and the marginal ROAS collapses, Meta will stubbornly keep spending that daily budget until you manually log in and turn the dial down.
Which is exactly why Meta heavily pushes the alternative. CBO, Campaign Budget Optimization, which they now brand as Advantage Plus Budget.
Right.
Explain the specific mechanism of how CBO actually evaluates where to put the money.
Sure. Under CBO, you set a single overarching budget at the campaign level. Beneath that, you might have 5 different ad sets. Meta's machine learning evaluates the real-time auction environment across all 5 audiences simultaneously.
Okay.
In milliseconds, it calculates the user's probability of converting based on thousands of data points, checks the required bid price, and dynamically routes a fraction of a rupee to the specific ad set with the cheapest marginal conversion at that exact second.
Wow. So CBO is basically an automated marginal ROAS equalizer running millions of times a day. It constantly hunts for the steepest part of the diminishing returns curve within the boundaries of that specific Meta campaign.
Exactly. It handles the interchannel microallocations brilliantly, but it cannot solve the macro allocation.
Because it doesn't talk to Google.
Precisely. Yeah. Meta CBO doesn't know what Google search is doing. Deciding how much total capital to allocate to the Meta ecosystem versus the Google ecosystem, that remains the fundamental job of the human budget owner.
Right. And as a quick aside to complete the platform ecosystem, how does Microsoft Ads or Bing fit into this macro allocation puzzle? Because we've been talking primarily about Google and Meta.
Yeah, so Microsoft Ads essentially clones Google's campaign structure.
Yeah.
You know, daily caps, the 30.4 multiplier, shared budgets. But strategically for a B2C brand, the search volume just isn't there to make it a primary pillar.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Bing operates as a highly efficient supplementary engine. It will typically capture 10 to 20% of your Google spend volume at very comparable acquisition costs.
Okay, so when your Google branded and non-branded search campaigns hit that saturation ceiling, Bing is a great place to deploy a slice of budget to capture some incremental high-intent demand before you're forced to spend heavier on colder social prospecting.
Spot on. It extends your intent harvesting runway, but it won't fundamentally alter your core allocation strategy.
All right, so we understand marginal ROAS. We know how to manipulate the diminishing returns curve using Google shared budgets and Meta CBO. We are acting like true portfolio managers.
Yep.
But there is a final boss to defeat here, and it's kind of insidious. The data feeding all of these elegant calculations, the numbers reported directly on your platform dashboards, is structurally biased.
No, this brings us to the walled garden attribution problem. Relying purely on in-platform data is where massive scale-up budgets literally go to die.
Let's tackle a very common piece of industry advice. You constantly hear consultants say things like, a 3x ROS is a healthy benchmark for e-commerce. Why does relying on static platform benchmarks cause catastrophic capital misallocation when a brand starts spending serious money?
Because scale inherently breaks traditional attribution models. Let's look at a brand spending a modest $5 lakhs a month. At that scale, the customer journey is usually quite linear.
Right.
A user sees a Meta ad, clicks it, and buys a shirt. Meta claims the conversion, and it's generally accurate. The attribution error rate is minimal.
But when you scale that budget to 1 crore a month, you achieve massive market penetration. The environment becomes incredibly noisy. A single consumer might see a Meta video on Monday, get served a YouTube pre-roll ad on Wednesday, ignore a retargeting banner on Thursday, and finally type your brand name into Google on Saturday to make the purchase.
Exactly. Furthermore, at 1 crore a month in spend, your baseline organic brand awareness is huge. A significant percentage of the people buying your products would have bought them anyway, simply because they already know and like your brand.
So you have a complex web of touch points plus a baseline of organic demand. How do the platforms handle this messy reality?
They handle it by aggressively taking credit for as much of it as possible. Both Google and Meta operate as walled gardens. They do not share data with each other, and their default attribution windows are explicitly designed to maximize their own reported value.
So they're biased.
Highly. Meta, for example, often defaults to a 7-day click and 1-day view attribution window.
Let's break down the mechanism of that 1-day view window, because I think that is where the double counting really happens.
It is. If a user is scrolling Instagram, pauses on your video ad for 2 seconds, but does not click anything, Meta logs that as an impression. If that same user goes to Google the very next morning, searches for your brand, and makes a 10,000 rupee purchase, Google's data-driven attribution model will see the click and claim the revenue.
But because that purchase happened within 24 hours of the user scrolling past the video, Meta's one-day view window kicks in. Meta's dashboard also claims that exact same 10,000 rupee conversion.
Yep. They are literally grading their own homework. You just generated 10,000 rupees in actual bank deposited revenue, but if you sum the reported revenue from your Meta dashboard and your Google dashboard, it looks like you generated 20,000 rupees.
Wow. So the platforms are literally double counting the conversions.
All day long.
This is why operating like an economic portfolio manager is so critical. When you look at your multi-channel dashboard, any ROAS number derived from a walled garden's internal reporting inherently overstates the true incremental value of that channel.
Absolutely. Remember that 3x benchmark we discussed earlier. If a walled garden is reporting a 3x return at massive scale, the massive overlap in attribution means the true incremental return to your bottom line might actually only be 1.2x.
So you think you're operating in the steep, profitable part of the efficient frontier, but the platform's self-serving math is hiding the fact that you are actually deeply saturated.
Which is exactly why mastering multi-channel budget ownership ultimately requires you to look beyond platform metrics entirely.
So to bring all these complex mechanics together for you, the listener, as you take the reins of your new budget, the dashboard is an illusion. Step away from chasing average ROAS in silos. Use the concept of marginal ROAS to constantly evaluate where your next rupee is going to work the hardest.
Yep.
Translate that strategy into the platforms by leveraging Google's shared budgets and Meta's algorithmic CBO to navigate the diminishing returns curve. And above all, never blindly trust the walled gardens to grade their own homework.
Beautifully summarized. You are no longer just pulling levers. You are managing a complex economic ecosystem. And, you know, if you really want to test the boundaries of that ecosystem, there is one final advanced concept from the source material to consider.
Let's hear it.
We have spent this entire deep dive discussing how to optimize the data the platforms give you, even knowing the data is biased and deeply flawed.
Right. We've been trying to filter the muddy water to see clearly.
But the ultimate test of your budget allocation is to stop filtering the water and simply turn off the tap entirely. I'm talking about geo-holdouts and true incrementality testing.
Okay, what does that look like?
What happens to your multi-channel mental model if you take a major high-performing market, say the entire city of Bengaluru, and you just turn off Meta completely for 30 days?
Oh man, that is a terrifying proposition for a performance marketer. You are intentionally turning off a channel that the dashboard claims is driving millions in revenue.
It requires immense confidence. But when you execute a clean geo holdout, you bypass the platform attribution models entirely. You compare the actual sales in the holdout city against a control city where ads are still running. It gives you the absolute, unvarnished ground truth.
So the provocative question you are forced to confront is, if you run that holdout, how much of that supposedly glorious 6x ROAS revenue will you discover actually stays exactly the same, whether the ads are running or not?
Exactly. Are your ad rupees actually generating net new demand, or are you just paying a very expensive toll to Google and Meta for traffic that was already driving to your store anyway?
That right there is the difference between a marketer who just reads dashboards and a true multi-channel portfolio manager.
Mastering incrementality is the final step in the journey.
And that is a brilliant provocation to end on. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. As you step into your new role and take ownership of the macro budget, remember the core mechanics we unpacked today. Look past the historical average, relentlessly hunt for the margin, and have the confidence to put the capital where the data actually dictates. You've got this.